So some of you guys have been sharing your stories with us as you've been putting on your t-shirts to say we start fires, and there are conversations happening throughout the week, and people are being intentional about Jesus and sharing the gospel, and I think that's awesome. Lucas, obviously this testimony video was about him, and there are other stories going on in this room right now as you guys are being intentional about sharing your faith, and I just want to say, like, good job. Like, I'm proud of you guys. Keep it up, because it really is worth it. The things that you do when you're talking to people about Jesus will outweigh any other conversation that you could ever have with someone. It's better than anything else you could tell a person is this really good news of salvation. So keep it up. Keep doing it. I want to just share a story real quick as we get started, because we're still in our series, We Start Fires, and we're in 2 Timothy 1, if you guys have Bibles and want to open there as I share this with you. But a few years ago, I was talking to some of our seniors, or one of our seniors, it might be here tonight, but a few years ago, we went on this trip up to Providence. How many of you guys went to the Providence trip with us? There shouldn't be too many of you, a couple of you older ones. Yeah, so we're on this trip, and we got to stop to this place called Plymouth, Massachusetts, like where the Pilgrims landed, you know, like on the Mayflower. And so that's where I grew up. So we took this little trip there, and we got to hang out. And there's this big, like, rock. It's called a jetty. I don't know if you know what a jetty is, but tons of, like, rocks piled up that just shoot way out into, like, the harbor, right? And so it's, like, way out there. And you can walk on these things. Just like a narrow little path of rocks, but you can get way out in the middle of the water there. And so we're all doing this little walk. We think it's cool. We're like, guys, when you get to the end, wait for me, all right? You definitely want to wait for me when you get there. Don't take off and just come back. Make sure you stop. And they're all like, yeah. So then they just take off, and they thought it was cool. They just start running, a whole group of them. They're going to try to get out and back as fast as they can, right? I'm like, you definitely want to wait. It's like, yeah. So they go. Well, the rest of us are just walking like normal people, and they're running on rocks, which is, you know, don't tell your parents. We do that at Firehouse. So they're running out there. They go out there, and as I'm walking out, I see them zip, passing us to go back. I'm like, should I remind them about what I said? And then in a youth pastor moment, I was like, nah, like, let's not remind. So I just let them go all the way back, and they're like, yeah, we won. Like, we're the first ones back. And the rest of us get out to the end, and we have this little photo op that we wanted to do. It was like a big deal. You know, like, hey, let's take a picture of ourselves out here. And I said, hey, because you guys followed the directions and you listened and you did what I asked, I want to treat you guys to ice cream after this at, like, the best ice cream place in the world. In the middle of Plymouth, where, like, ice cream began, right? It's this, like, amazing ice cream place. And I was going to treat these kids because they followed directions. They did what I asked. So we go back, and I get them ice cream, and the other kids who didn't listen are like, yo, my ice cream. And I was like, yo, you didn't listen, so no ice cream for you. You know, it was like one of those. I was being like the ice cream Nazi, and they were so mad. Some are still mad today at me when I bring it up. They make that face. I'm like, no ice cream. I'm sorry. I'm being serious. You didn't follow directions, and now you're not in our picture. And it just made me think of that story tonight as we're looking at this part of the passage in 2 Timothy 1. We're in verses 13 and 14, okay? And as we're listening to Paul's advice to this young pastor named Timothy, who's in this church, and he's a young guy, and he's got a bunch of older, more mature people in his church, they're not really listening to him very well. They're like, we're older than you. Like, we know what's going on. And he's like, but I'm the pastor. And he's trying to pastor a difficult group of people. And so Paul's giving him advice on how to lead and how to show them the gospel, the most important thing that he could teach them. And in that, that's what we're looking at tonight. Paul brings out this really important point about being able to follow instructions. Like, one thing I want you to remember by the time we get to the end of tonight's message is this. To be a good leader, you have to know how to follow. If you can't follow directions well, you're going to be a terrible leader. Sometimes we think like, oh, well, I want to be the leader because I want to tell everybody what to do. Like, I want to be the boss, you know, and I get to just command everybody else and they have to do what I say. We don't like to be told what to do. But you see, when we're following Jesus, we have to be able to follow ourselves in order to lead others. Because we're not just walking off in our own direction. We're following the shepherd, the king of our lives. And so as Jesus calls us to do things, when we step forward and say yes, we should be able to follow his instructions. Or else we're going to lead a group of people that are behind us. And we're going to walk off in our own direction, just like those kids who are like, let's just run out and run back. They didn't follow in directions well, and they missed out on a blessing. If you want to lead people, and I know a lot of you guys do, we've got a lot of student leaders in this room right now. If you want to lead people well, be able to follow well, be able to listen to Jesus and say yes, and do as Jesus tells you so that you have a place to lead people to, all right? And so open up with me. Hopefully you're there by now. 2 Timothy 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Do you hear the very first word? He said, follow, right? And here he's talking to a leader, a pastor of a church, and the first word is follow. You're like, leaders follow. That's kind of a strange concept. I thought they led, but in order to lead well, you have to follow. So Paul tells him this really important lesson. And you know what? Paul's not just telling Timothy to do it. It's not like, hey, bro, this is what you should do, right? Let me just tell you what to do. What Paul's saying is, hey, follow the way I follow. You see, Paul's following too. And so he's not just kind of bossing Timothy around. He's inviting him along as he's following Jesus. Everybody has someone that we should be following. Everybody should be looking up ultimately to the Lord, right? And Eli taught him, hey, listen to God's voice and then say yes when you hear it. Follow the voice of the Lord. And so that's exactly what Paul's doing. He's not just commanding Timothy. He's inviting him to obey Jesus with him. Like, join me as I obey Jesus. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's what he says in another letter. So in order to lead others, you have to be able to be a good follower. But look what he says to follow. He says, follow the pattern. That word pattern's interesting because, like, if you were just to look at that right now and try to explain to me what he's trying to say, like, what pattern is he talking about? Why does he even say that and not just, like, the teaching or the words that I said to you, right? It's a letter. He wrote him words. So follow the words, follow the letter. But he doesn't. He says, follow the pattern. And when I looked it up, this word is like, it's saying that there's more than just a lesson here. What Timothy needs to do is look at the life of Paul. As Paul is living, he's making this pattern, this shape for Timothy to look at and be like, oh, that's how you do it. It's one thing for me to tell you to do something. It's another thing for me to show you. Right? If I were just to give you, like, hey, you're going to build this really awesome, brand new electric car tonight. How many engineers are in the room? Right? And there's like, no. Well, it's okay. Don't fear, because I'm going to tell you what to do. You're like, what? Like, I'm never going to be able to build an electric car tonight. Now, some of you guys might. You're like super smart. You're in STEM and all that stuff. But like, to me, that'd be like, that's crazy. But what if this dude like Elon Musk showed up and he's like, come here, Rob, I'm going to do it with you. You're going to work next to me. We're going to like learn this. Man, that would be so much easier because he's right there. I'm making mistakes and he's correcting me. He's showing me how things are done, how to grab certain tools and move certain things certain ways instead of just words. Now here's where it really hits home for us. A lot of times that's how we treat church. Like, I'm good because I went to the youth group and I heard Rob say a bunch of stuff. Or we like read a Bible verse, so we're good. Check it off my list. I read my Bible this morning. And we do nothing with it, like nothing at all. We just read words. But Paul doesn't just say words. He says, follow the pattern like of his life, like get involved. Dig into the truth that he's trying to tell you and teach you. So if all you're doing is coming and be like, all right, cool. So like I heard a sermon tonight, heard some words. And you leave this place and you never actually engage with it. Never obey what the Bible's telling you or what we learned as we studied. If you don't jump into your life groups and like go serve together and love people together and do things that the Lord's actually telling us to do, we just hear it and then go, okay, cool. But do nothing with it. How do you grow? How do you become a leader? Paul's saying you can't. That's not how it's done. It's done by living it, by seeing this life group leader or Sunday school teacher or pastor or parent or coach in your life who's taking you alongside of you and living it out. That's why life groups are so important to us. You hear me every single week, probably. I talk about this, right? And you're like, stop talking about it. But it's so important for your life group leaders to be loving you and involved in your lives outside of the hour we spend together on Wednesday nights. For you guys to go off this campus and serve people and tell people about Jesus and hang out and love people and invite people that you don't know into your group. Like, that's what living for Jesus looks like. And it's more than just listening to a sermon. Now, he definitely doesn't say that listening to a sermon is bad or that studying the words are bad. As a matter of fact, you don't know how to live unless you hear this. So we need to hear the words of God, but we need to live them out as well together. And so your life group leaders, your Sunday school teachers, they're there to do that with you. I'm here to do that with you. Be involved. When you get that invite from your life group leader who's like, hey, we're all going to do this, say yes next time. Put your controller down, right? Get the Xbox turned off. Get your lazy butt off the couch or whatever it is the summer's got you doing right now that you're like, I just don't want to right now. You know, I know the feeling. Get up. Say yes. Go be involved. Stop being so busy. You're too young to be that busy, and serve Jesus. It's the thing that will always pay off. So Paul says, come look at the pattern of my life. Like, follow that pattern so Timothy could actually be engaged in it and live it out. Obeying the truth, what it does is it pulls your life, your testimony, into the shape of God's design. That pattern, that shape of Jesus, it makes you into the image of Christ. Follow it. Don't just listen to it. Follow it. Say yes and be involved. So he says, follow the pattern of the sound words. That word sound is interesting because I'm like, what does that really mean, sound? So I looked it up. It means like health or like wholesomeness or benefit. And it's actually being used to say like that this is good for the health of Timothy's spirit. You know, nowadays, especially after COVID, you guys are probably on this like health kick, at least some of you are. Most of the world is. It's like, oh man, we were just stuck in the house for like a year. We want to get out. We're going to eat healthy. We're going to cut out the GMOs. We're going to drink more like healthy like smoothies and run and exercise and play sports. And we're so concerned with like health all of a sudden, right? Get out of the house, be healthy. And mental health. We're like super concerned with our mental health, getting enough rest, getting enough like recreation time to take our mind off the stress. Like those are all big deals. But I don't hear people talking about our spiritual health. Physical and mental, it's all over the place. Just go on Instagram, you'll see it. What about your spiritual health? Are you concerned with that? Are you worried about that? Are you like looking into like, hey, how can I grow closer to Jesus? How can my faith be made stronger right now? Are you reading and studying and memorizing scripture? Do you take time when you wake up to like memorize a Bible verse or read the Bible and think about what it really means? And then get up, go about your day and say, today, I'm going to practice what I just read. I'm not going to just leave it there like, sweet, did my devotions. I'm going to like, this is what God told me to do today. I just read it. Let's put it into practice today as I go out into the world, as I interact with people, as I interact with my parents, you know, in the summer where sometimes, you know, we get kind of tired of being in the same house together. How will I respect and honor and love my parents and obey them? How will I interact with my friends? What will I go do and think? What will I look at on the computer? How am I taking what God says and honoring it by living it out in my life? Are you worried about your spiritual health? Not worried in like a stressed out way, but are you actually taking care of yourself spiritually? Is it even on the radar? Is tonight, as I say it, the first time you've even thought about it? I want to encourage you, take care of yourself spiritually. Spend time with Jesus. Be in his presence. Worship him. Turn on the radio to worship music and sing to him from the bottom of your heart. Let your parents be like, what are you hollering in there? I'm just singing to Jesus right now. Like I'm spending time with him. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I want to be around the Lord. Take care of yourself spiritually. These sound words were more than just words. You need the words. The only truth we can find is in the Bible, but you need to do something with those words. And when you do, it benefits you spiritually. And that's the second thing, is that good leaders, they know how to follow, but good leaders also fill up on God's word. They spend time reading it and memorizing it and committing it to their life. That's where your direction comes from. That's the only truth that you're going to find. Then he says this, the sound words that you've heard from me. How cool is it that Paul isn't just telling him to go do something he hasn't done himself? He's not a hypocrite. Paul's like, hey, listen, I'm the one who taught you these things. I'm practicing these things myself. I would hope that as you engage with your life group leader or with me or your Sunday school teachers or even your parents, some of you, believers as parents, that you would encounter people that aren't just telling you to go live for Jesus. You're seeing them live it out in their lives. You're seeing people that actually love Christ, that get in the word, that give you advice from Jesus' lips and not their own. People that want to see you grow closer to Jesus. And that's Paul with Timothy. He's like, I'm living this out. I want you to join me as I live this thing out. You've heard these words from me. You know what Paul was doing? He's starting that fire in Timothy. Talked about we start fires. That's what Paul's doing. And here's a lesson we can learn from it. Not only do you need people starting a fire in your heart, life group leaders and Sunday school teachers I keep mentioning, but what about you? As a leader, should you not be out doing that for other people? Do you have a friend who you're trying to talk to about Jesus and encourage them and love them and point them toward Christ? How about a little brother or a sister or someone in your family or a teammate on a sports team? Is there someone in your life that God's calling you to be able to say, hey, you've heard these sound words from me. You've seen the pattern in me. Like, I'm living out what I'm telling you from the Bible. I'm not a hypocrite saying, hey, don't lie. And then I go around and I'm the biggest liar in the group. Don't gossip and talk about people. And then I'm talking about people right behind their back. Like, that's why a lot of people don't want to go to church, y'all, because they see hypocrites everywhere. Paul's saying, that's not us. That's not what you've been saved to. We're people as believers, as the church of God, who should live what we say. We should live out what we're reading in scripture. So we can look at people and go, hey, you've heard this and seen this in me. Come join me. Do this. Who is the person you're pouring your life into? Like, I'm only in middle school. So? You're saying there aren't other middle schoolers in your group that need help walking toward Jesus? Maybe God's calling you to be that one that steps up, loves that friend well, and points him to Christ. Lives out the truth that you hear on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. Hopefully you're reading in your Bible every day. You're not too young. You're at a perfect age right now, and God wants to use you. Why do you think we got the shirts? Why do you think they say we start fires? The we is you. You guys right now, start some fires. Good leaders lead by example and not just by words. They don't just talk the talk. They live it. And they let people see it in them. Then Paul says, in the faith and love. These are two really important things because these aren't just like words. These aren't just wise sayings from some guru guy. Like, they come from somewhere. They do something. And they're founded in faith and love. Paul's example to Timothy was living out faith and love. When God tells you to do that scary thing, you know, that last thing you're hoping God will tell you to do, you're like, tell me to do whatever, God, just don't tell me to do this. And then he comes and he's like, that's what I want you to do. Will you take that step even though it's scary? Because that requires faith. You see, that's where the faith comes in. If he always asks you to do something you're already doing, where's the faith? You're already there. You're taking the steps. But when God comes up and he's like, listen, I want you to talk to that person. You're like, no, not them. Anybody else. Like, these 10 are awesome. I'll rock it out with them. But don't make me talk to them, God. And he's like, knock, knock, knock. And you're like, fighting the conviction. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Will you take the scary step over there? Will you show the faith and say, Lord, I know it's in the small little steps that are scary that require faith, and that's where my faith grows. So, okay. Yes, I'm going to obey. And love. Man, we can try to be people of truth, but if we don't show love, we're just mean bigots. We're just people that think we know better than everybody else, and we just want to spout out everything we know. But if it is not empowered by love, nothing. Let us be people in the church that love people so much and love God so much, we want them to meet each other. We want these people to know what their God has said, to have a relationship with them, to know truth because we love them. Not just because we want to go around pointing fingers and telling everybody how they're wrong, but because we desire them to know their Creator, to be saved by Jesus from their sin. And Paul was motivated by those two things. Man, the amount of faith Paul had to have to go through the things. And we've talked through Acts a little bit, and you've heard what Paul's gone through, shipwrecks and beatings and being stoned and beaten and whipped and all these things, right? Every time Paul had to just say, like, God, I'll still go back. I'll still follow. I'll still take another step. And so the Lord has grown some faith in Paul. So as he's talking to Timothy, he's like, listen, this truth needs to be lifted up in faith and love. Tonight, are you willing to take some steps of faith? Are you willing to get off the couch? Willing to step out of your house? Make that phone call, text that person that you don't want to talk to? Seek forgiveness with someone that you hurt and that you just don't want to even approach? Maybe that hurt you and now you don't want to approach? Your mom and dad who have ticked you off so much you can't even look at them? Are you willing to find that reconciliation that only faith and love can bring? Man, I hope that this summer for you is about starting fires this way. Like, you want to get up. You want to say yes to Jesus and be serious about your relationship with him. So Paul says, in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Now, here's where I get it wrong. So don't make the mistake I make all the time. I try to do what I just said. But the problem is I try to do what I just said. I go out and go, Rob, you can do this, man. And I give myself the pep talk. And I'm like, the whole deal. And it's all in my own strength. And I try to love the people that I'm mad at or whatever. And then I just run out so quickly and get frustrated because I'm depending on the amount of love that's in my own heart. And I just don't have enough. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough faith to keep saying yes. And so what I have to do is depend on Jesus and abide in Jesus because his love never runs out. It's like this well that just keeps overflowing in me. So when I'm tired and I'm weak and I'm like, oh, they frustrate me so much, I just want to strangle them. Jesus is like, ah, like here I am. Like, and he's given me more love because I've spent time with Jesus. But that doesn't happen unless you actually spend time with Jesus. How many conversations I have with students that are like, how do you do that? I just don't get it. I'm like, how much time you spent with Jesus? And they're like, wait, like, I actually have spent time with him? Like, well, yeah. That's why it says abide in me and I'll abide in you. But then we want him to abide, but we don't want to get off the Xbox. We don't want to stop hanging out with our friends. We don't want to make the time to just be in Jesus' presence and let him fill us. Remember we talked last week about how that power of the Holy Spirit in you just bursts out? Like, you can't contain it. It's too powerful. But you got to spend the time with Jesus. And the more time you spend, the more he's going to change you and make you look like the pattern of his life and of who he is. Are you spending time with Jesus? If I came up to you tonight when this thing's over, I walked up to you, I pulled you aside, and I had this like awkward youth pastor moment with you and looked you in the eyes and was like, you know, I'm not going to do that. But if I did, I was like, honestly, are you spending time with Jesus? What would your answer be? If you want to grow in Jesus, spend time with him. Open his word. Be amazed by the miracles he does and how much he loves you and forgives you. Look at your own sin and how unworthy you are. And I love you, all right? You're awesome. But listen, you're not worthy of Jesus. Neither am I. And yet, he loves you that much. He died for you. That should put faith in your heart. That should fill you up with joy and love to say, man, spending time with you is so awesome because I didn't deserve you. And yet you still gave me yourself on the cross. So he says that are in Christ Jesus. Good leaders need to abide in Jesus. If you want to be a good leader, spend time with him. Then he says this. This should sound familiar from a few verses back. He says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. He reminds us that you can't, that faith and love in your heart, like you can't guard that. That calling he put in your life, the gifts he's given you to use for him that some of us do and don't, you can't guard it yourself. You're not strong enough. You're going to fall. But he says that there's a way to do it. He says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. The power of God can if you spend time with Jesus. Good leaders are empowered by the Holy Spirit. They're not doing it on their own. They're not walking around trying to tell people about Christ to be like, I'm Billy Graham, everybody, gather around, we're all going to get saved. Like, that's not how it works. You spend time with Christ and he does this incredible thing through you because he decides to use you. Because God wants to do it. And you have that Holy Spirit in you tonight. Some of y'all feel weak tonight. Some of you guys are like, how do I serve Jesus? Like, what do I have to offer? And right now you're thinking like, I can't do anything for God. And that's a lie. You stop listening to Satan, because that's him telling you that. The Holy Spirit of God, if you follow Jesus, is inside of you. And his power is limitless. And he can do things through you you will never be able to imagine until he does it. If you'll just depend, just trust, and say, Holy Spirit, I'm willing, but you got to do this. I'll say yes. You tell me what to do, I'll say yes. And then trust as you spend time with Jesus that he's going to give you the strength and the gifts and whatever else you need to say yes to him. Good leaders are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's how you guard that deposit in you. I love that Paul is inviting Timothy to get into this with him. Not just sending him off on a mission by himself or telling him what to do. He's saying, come on with me. And so I want to leave you with these two things tonight. Are you looking to someone in your life who's inviting you in to following Jesus with them? Do you have someone that cares about your spiritual health in your life? Now, I'm not saying people that want to. I'm saying, are you letting them? Because this place is full of people that are here, adults sitting around this room, if you look around, who came to say, I want to see these students love Jesus. You know that's why they're here, right? They don't like to just give up their Wednesday night to watch you run around and play, as much as we love you, right? They love you. That's the point. And they want to invite you into discipleship. That means they want to see you grow in Jesus. Are you letting them? Are you engaging with them and saying, come on, help me do this? And second, do you have someone you're inviting into that with you? Are you looking to people and having eyes that are like, oh, that person needs a hug tonight, and that person over there, that friend I have, I want them to know Jesus better, and I'm going to just dig in with them and encourage them and text them and read the Bible with them and pray for them, but I want to invite them into what I'm doing so we can grow in Jesus together. Are you doing those two things? Because to be a good leader, you have to be doing those two things. Will you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? This walk and this like starting fires, it's not just about getting someone to say a prayer. And it doesn't stop at this baptism trough where we dunk people in the water. It doesn't stop there. Like, that's just the beginning. We've been seeing kids come forward and get baptized and say, I'm not ashamed of my faith in Jesus, and I want you to know that. But know this, that's just the beginning. Growing in Jesus starts there, and it depends on the church saying, I love you, and I want you to walk with me. And it depends on you saying, I know you love me, so let me walk with you. Teach me, help me grow. And tonight, some of you guys are like, man, I just come, and I hang out, and it's cool, and we want you to do that. But we want more for you. If you're here tonight and you're like, man, I love coming here, but I've just been coming to chill. I want to engage in something deeper. I want this place to bless me in deeper ways. Would you do me a favor? I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray that God does that, because remember, only the Holy Spirit can do it. Would you just raise your hand up and be honest and say, like, Holy Spirit, do it. Like, I'm admitting right now I can't, but I want that. Would you raise your hand up and say, Rob, pray for me that the Holy Spirit does that in my heart? Yeah, man, I see you. Anybody else? Yeah, I see you back there. That's me. Like, I want to grow. I want to be involved in this discipleship thing. Yeah, man, I see you too. I see you over there. Yep, I see you. Anybody else? You want to join this thing? You want to start some fires with us tonight? Anybody else? I'm going to pray for you guys in just a second. Raise your hand. Let me ask this one last question. Are you here tonight and you never met Jesus? this guy that has all the rest of us so pumped up. We're singing songs about him and we're talking about him and we're getting all jumping around because he's that good. And you're like, who is this guy? And tonight you want to know who he is. Would you do me a favor too and just raise your hand up? Be like, I don't know who Jesus is. Like, I don't have a relationship like you're talking about. But I'd like to know more about that. Would you just raise your hand up so I can pray for you? Yeah, man, I see your hand back there. Anybody else? Like, I want to know who this Jesus is. Pray for me, Rob, tonight that I can find that out. Let me pray for you guys. Father, thank you so much for being with us tonight, for letting us be with you, that we're in your presence right now, that what we're about to sing, they're not just words, it's not just music. God, it's because you're that good. It's because you died on a cross to save us. We don't deserve it. So as we sing tonight, will you hear our hearts thank you? Will you hear us worship you and say, God, we're not worthy to be in your presence. For those who raise their hand tonight that they want to grow deeper, they want their spiritual health, God, to be deep in you. Will you connect them with leaders and people in their lives, adults, that can help them take that walk? Will you help them have a conversation, the courage to come up to their life group leader or to me and say, hey, plug me into that. I want help doing that. Those who raise their hand and say, like, I need someone in my life to do that with. I want to help someone else. I want to lead people into a deep relationship with Christ. God, will you, Holy Spirit, give them the strength to do it? The courage, would you bring the right people around them that they could say yes to? And for my brother in the back who raised his hand, God, I just pray that he would meet you tonight. That before he leave this place, he talk to me or one of the leaders and say, hey, how do I know Jesus? I want to know who he is. I pray, God, that tonight he walk away from this place and know you as his Savior, that his sins would be forgiven, and he knows he has eternity with you. We love you, God. Hear us as we worship you right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.